Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've been looking at these three short verses that have brief commands with major ramifications for our lives. And this morning our focus is on verse 18, but I'll read again verses 16 through 18 for us to gain the context. By the way, remember, we've been studying this chapter and the latter part of it for some time, and you'll recall the first part of chapter 5 emphasizes the events relating to the second coming of Christ and how we need to be prepared for that. And then in light of that, we talked about specific exhortations that relate to the care of one another as members of the body of Christ. And now we're talking about attitudes that we ought to have with respect to the Lord. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. We see them highlighted in verses 16 through 18. Hear God's word. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Short commands, and yet great ramifications for our lives. Are you a thankful person? How much time do you spend thanking God in your prayer times? If you were to put a proportion on it, what proportion would you put on thanksgiving versus supplication? Certainly supplication is not bad, and God calls us to petition Him. Yet thanksgiving should also be a part of that prayer to God. Is it possible to give thanks even in times of disappointment or defeat or difficulty or even unjust persecution? How are we to understand this exhortation? Well, these three verses focus on our attitude with respect to God. And you can see that they are inseparably linked. We've noted that before in previous studies. The call to always rejoice is supported by constancy in prayer. It is through our crying out to the Lord in distress that our joy is restored and our eyes are refocused from earthly to heavenly things. And so we need to pray if we're going to be able to rejoice always. Prayer, however, must also include thanksgiving, or else it will become merely a form of complaining and grumbling before God, with the goal of self-gratification rather than the glory of God. One New Testament commentator makes this point, William Hendrickson. He says, when a person prays without giving thanks, he has clipped the wings of prayer. In other words, we're not praying as God intended. We're not including all that God intended in prayer. Even in the midst of our supplication, we're to pray with thanksgiving, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. So each of these three exhortations are necessary for maintaining a right attitude in life before God. Always rejoice, constantly pray, and give thanks in everything. That is the emphasis that we have here. Well, this morning we'll be focusing on giving thanks in everything. How are we to understand and apply this command? It seems pretty radical to say that we are to give thanks in everything. How do we understand this command? Well, notice three things as we look at this brief verse this morning. First of all, we should note the universal scope of this command. It is universal in its scope. Paul says, in everything give thanks. And the emphasis in the verse is on in everything. And while the previous two commands are to be done at all times, this exhortation is to be done in every circumstance. We're always to rejoice, we're to be praying constantly, and in every circumstance we are to give thanks. But we need to clarify the focus of this command briefly. We are not called to give thanks for all things, but we are called to give thanks in all things. We are not called to give thanks for things that are evil or displeasing to God. Certainly that would contradict the character of God and His purpose. And yet, in all circumstances, we can give thanks to God, even when we experience attacks by evil doers. And why is that? Because God is sovereign over all things in His world. And He is working out His good purpose in our lives, in the lives of His redeemed people. Romans 8:28 is a familiar verse, but it is presents teaching that is foundational to this command that we have in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as we seek to apply this principle. We are able to give thanks in everything because we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose. John MacArthur puts it like this. He says, God's sovereign blending of all of life's contingencies for believers' ultimate blessing causes them to be thankful for everything in life, knowing that it fits into His eternal purpose for them. And that's why Joseph, you remember the story of Joseph, who was sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt as a young man, probably teenager, he later in life, when he was standing before his brothers with all power, all the power of Egypt behind him, was able to rejoice and to give thanks in the work of God. He was able to say to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." He understood the sovereignty of God. Even though evil was done to him, he saw how God worked good through that evil. And so we are not to thank God for evil or anything that's displeasing to God, but we are called to thank Him in all circumstances, knowing that in His providence He is working all things for the good of those who love Him and have been called to Him in salvation. So whatever situation you find yourself in, you are to offer up thanks to God. And that includes, of course, times of blessing. That's the most natural time, isn't it, for us to give thanks? After God has answered prayer that we have offered up to Him, after He has blessed us in ways beyond our understanding or our expectation, that's the most natural time for us to give thanks. After a great victory, after some deliverance in our lives, we're moved to give thanks to the Lord. And we have many examples of this in the Scripture. For example, the Israelites, when they were delivered by God out of the hands of the Egyptians at the Red Sea, a great song of praise was offered up to the Lord for His salvation. The psalmist in Psalm 116 gives praise to God. He was facing death, whether through illness or some other critical danger. He was near death, and yet God delivered him from that peril and restored his life. And he says, "I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon Him as long as I live." And so it's natural for us to give praise to God when we experience His blessing and the benefits that we ask for in prayer. But giving thanks in everything also includes times of distress. Times of distress. How can we give thanks in distress or difficulty? Thanksgiving is an expression of heartfelt gratitude for benefits received, right? How can we praise God when we are suffering difficulty? And yet, even in distress, it is possible to give thanks if we are children of God. Jonah is an example. He was the wayward prophet. Rather than following God's will and going directly to Nineveh to preach to that city, he went the opposite direction. And of course, God brought the great storm, and Jonah bailed out of the ship. He realized this was a judgment upon him. And yet God had mercy upon him. He sent the great fish to swallow Jonah up. And there in the belly of that fish, we hear these words of Jonah. While the fish was his means of deliverance, we can imagine that life was not real pleasant in the belly of the fish as he was sloshing around in the digestive juices of that fish. And as the air was very putrid, his life was preserved, and yet it was difficult. Still he prays, "I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." He was giving thanks in the midst of that distress. And we can give thanks even in distress because God reveals His mercies to us in special ways during those times of difficulty. We see His keeping hand. We see His provision and His care in ways that we never would have before had we not experienced that difficulty or that distress. We come to know God in a way much closer than we ever would have if we had been enjoying times of rich provision. And furthermore, God brings distress into the lives of His children to discipline us. He shows His love to us by disciplining us. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, Hebrews 12 tells us. In other words, He will not, as our Heavenly Father, allow us to stray very long from His precepts. He will bring distress. He will bring difficulty upon us because He wants us to turn back according to His path. The psalmist recognizes this in Psalm 119, verse 71. He says, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." He recognizes that the affliction that he had brought him to a greater understanding and application of the Word of God in his life. And apart from that, he would not have followed God the way that he should have. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. And yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." And so we can give thanks in discipline because it reflects to us the love of our Father in heaven for us. And as we learn from it, as we yield to it, it yields or produces within us the peaceful fruit of righteousness in our lives. So even in times of distress. And also, we can give thanks, and we should give thanks in everything, which includes thanks before the battle begins. That might seem like a bit of an arrogant position. And yet we have an example of that in Scripture. We can give thanks at the outset of a challenge or a task in the Lord. King Jehoshaphat is an example. When the forces of Moab gathered in great number to do battle against God's people, Judah, he prayed to the Lord in the temple. All the people stood there before the Lord and their wives and their children as he prayed to the Lord in the temple. And then through the prophet Jehaziel, God's answer came. And we hear in 2 Chronicles 20 these words, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." And the next day, as Judah went out to battle, what did King Jehoshaphat do? Well, he appointed singers to go before the army singing. And this is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Even before they engaged in the battle, as they were going out to battle, they were giving thanks to God, acknowledging His everlasting mercy. Well, what a testimony of giving thanks to God in everything. It was thanks that was rooted not in their own strength, not in their own arrogance, but it was rooted in God's promise to deliver His people. Think about that in terms of application. Are you willing to give thanks to God as you face the battles of life, not because of your own strength, but based upon God's promises to you? God's promise to help you and to deliver you. He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:10. And then remember that promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it." Even as you enter into temptation, you can give thanks because God has promised to give you the power to overcome that temptation as you wait upon Him. Jesus promised His disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are not alone. We are not left alone. We are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, and He is with us and enabling us to face the battle and to have victory in it. So we give thanks in everything, and that thanks includes thanks even as the battle begins, or before the battle begins. So we see this command as universal in scope, but then secondly, we see that it is rooted in heartfelt gratitude. Well, that sounds pretty obvious, doesn't it? If you give thanks, you need to be filled with gratitude. But this is a very important clarification to make. We can offer words of thanks, but those words are not honoring to God without heartfelt gratitude. True thanksgiving is an outward expression of praise, but it flows from a heart that is full of gratitude for God's goodness to us. And we understand this. If somebody is giving you a compliment, and yet you know that they're just doing that because they're trying to be polite, for example, that's not meaningful to you at all. In fact, it's offensive to you. In the same way, if we are giving praise and thanks to God, and yet it's not from conviction, the conviction of a heart that is overflowing with thanksgiving to God, then it is really an offense to Him. To offer genuine thanks, then gratitude needs to be cultivated in our hearts. And that occurs when we meditate upon the goodness of God. When we consider God's rich grace and His mercy, we can't help be moved by gratitude. That's why it's so important that not only after you are converted, you need to continue to preach the gospel to yourself, to meditate on the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to consider the magnitude of His grace towards you. True thanksgiving recognizes that God alone is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Anything that you are experiencing in your life that is good has come to you from the hand of God. And that gives us great reason to give thanks and should cultivate a spirit of gratitude in our lives. When we contemplate the magnitude of God's goodness to us physically and spiritually, gratitude will result. And the natural expression of that gratitude then is thanksgiving, words of thanksgiving. That happens in prayer when we are calling upon the Lord. It happens in praise as we worship God together, as we sing from His word. And it happens in times of testimony. We have testimony times once a month, sometimes in the prayer time before the evening service. We have testimonies of thanksgiving to God because He has answered prayer, because He's working in our lives. These are all opportunities for us to express thanks to God, but it must come out of a heart of gratitude. And gratitude's greatest enemy is what? Complaint. Discontentment with your lot in life and complaining at the circumstances that you face will quickly stifle the thanksgiving which God calls us to express. How quickly we can fall into a pattern of grumbling. When the weather gets rough, we are tempted to complain. When it hasn't rained for 3 weeks, we may be tempted to complain. When the bills mount up, we may be tempted to grumble. When our health deteriorates, it may be that we are tempted to complain. When things don't go as we have planned, we may fall into a pattern of murmuring. But it is important to realize that ingratitude is not just an unpleasant personality trait. It's not merely an impolite response. It is an affront to God. Ingratitude is a sin in God's eyes. In fact, it's an offhanded way of saying, God, I don't like the way that you're running things. You're the sovereign Lord of creation. But I don't like how you are ordering your world. You don't really care about me. In fact, you are probably powerless to give me what I want. Now, of course, we're not saying that. We would never articulate it in that way when we grumble and complain. But in essence, is that not what we're saying? We're complaining against the goodness and the sovereignty of God. Ingratitude, ultimately, taken to its end, is a sign of unbelief. In fact, it is a characteristic of the unregenerate. Those who are outside of Christ, those who remain under the wrath of God, that is a chief characteristic of the unregenerate, ingratitude. Romans 1:21 tells us, for even though they knew God, in other words, God's testimony of His existence is all around everyone in the world. We see His majesty and His creation. There's no excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. No thanks in the heart of the unregenerate towards God. A whole generation of Israelites, remember, perished in the wilderness because of their faithless groaning and complaining against God. It was an evidence of their unbelief. And so we must cultivate gratitude in our lives. The psalmist says, which we read earlier, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. The afflicted can even rejoice in the Lord as we testify to His glory and greatness. And why not? In tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in peril, when the sword threatens, Paul says in Romans 8, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And so nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So if you're united to Christ, your life will be characterized by thanksgiving. That is rooted in gratitude, heartfelt gratitude. Well, thirdly and finally, we see that this exhortation implies true devotion to God. True devotion to God. And first of all, what we must realize is that to offer thanks in everything, you must be redeemed by Jesus Christ. We've already alluded to that in the previous section. Jesus Christ is the source of power for living a life of thanksgiving. It's only when we are in union with Him, we are united to Him, in relationship with Him, through the ministry of His Holy Spirit, that attitudes of joy and prayer, constancy in prayer, and thanksgiving in everything are possible. When we are born again, He sets us free from slavery to sin, from a heart that is hostile to God, from rebellion, from those ungrateful attitudes that we just talked about and read about towards God. His Spirit renews our heart with the desire to worship and to serve the living God. And so Paul describes this new life that he has in Christ in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. If you've been made a new creation in Jesus Christ, you will have a heart of thanksgiving towards God. It takes redemption. It takes the renewal of your sinful nature. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to cause you to be born again in order for you to give thanks in everything. And secondly, to offer thanks, you must also surrender to God's will. As a born-again believer in Christ, you are called to yield to Him as Lord. Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is the Master, but He's a gracious Master. And when He redeems you, He calls you to serve Him as Lord, to take His yoke upon you, to learn from Him, to submit to His will, to follow His commands. And He enables that through the ministry of His Holy Spirit. And as you do, you will find rest for your souls. In Luke 9:23, we read, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That's because Christ is Lord. And when he's your Redeemer and Lord, you need to turn away from that old rebellious way of life, denying self and seeking to live for Him, following in His ways. One of the greatest reasons for a lack of thanks is that our will is not always God's will. There's a conflict there. And so we react against God. Because our lives don't go as we have planned, we grow discontent. We become disgruntled. We even perhaps distance ourselves from God. But to give thanks in everything, we must be totally surrendered to the will of God. We must recognize that even in the trials and the afflictions of life, God has ordained these. All of the circumstances of our lives have been sovereignly prepared to bring to completion the good work that He has begun in your life, if you're a redeemed child of God. What is His purpose for you? It's that you would be conformed into the image of His Son, Romans 8 tells us. And so He is working all things for good to those who love Him, so that that purpose is accomplished in your life. So when we understand this, then we can give thanks, even in the midst of difficulty. That's why James gives the exhortation in James 1:2-4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We can rejoice because we know God's sovereign and that He is perfecting us through the trials that we endure. So to give thanks in everything, we must grow in our submission to Jesus Christ as our Lord. And then thirdly, to offer thanks in everything is God's will for you. It's God's will for you. Paul tells us right here. Now it's true for all. This is true for all three exhortations. It's God's will that we always rejoice. It's God's will that we unceasingly pray. It's God's will that in everything we give thanks. And the truth is that God enables His people to do what He commands. That's the encouragement here. The emphasis is not, you must do it for God wills it. Do this because God wills it. No, that's not the point. The emphasis is, knowing that it is God's will, you can do it. It is His desire for you, and in Him is the power to accomplish this attitude, which is really supernatural. It's not a normal thing to give thanks in everything. And so Paul says in Philippians 4:12-13, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That's not natural. It's supernatural. It's because God was at work in Paul. He had been crucified, and now Christ lived in him, and he was able to give thanks and have contentment in any and every circumstance. Remember the story of Corrie Ten Boom, which she tells in her autobiography, The Hiding Place. You recall that Corrie and Betsy and their father were harboring Jews during World War II in Holland. And they were arrested by the Germans for doing that. And after she and her sister were transferred to the German prison camp in Ravensbrück, they found the barracks there to be overcrowded, which was unpleasant enough, but also infested with fleas. And that morning, their scripture reading, they actually had a Bible available to them that they would read while the guards were not around. The scripture that morning was from 1 Thessalonians 5. And it was reminding them to rejoice always, to pray constantly, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And so Betsy, Corrie's sister, urged her to give thanks for each detail in their new living quarters. And when Corrie refused to thank God for the fleas, Betsy persisted and she said, "You need to give thanks even for the fleas." And so she gave in, thanking God even for the fleas. Well, during their time in Ravensbrück, they were amazed at how much freedom they actually had to read the Bible each day in that prison setting and to pray without interference from the guards. And several months later, they learned that the reason that the guards wouldn't enter the barracks was because of the fleas. So even God in His mercy and His providence used this difficulty, this unpleasant experience for good, to allow them to have fellowship with Him in the Word and through prayer. God calls each of us to give thanks. It's a command that is universal in scope. It is rooted in heartfelt gratitude. And it grows out of true devotion to God, a true relationship with the living God. Genuine Christians should be known by their constant thankfulness to God. And so let me encourage you to cultivate the habit of giving thanks in everything in your life. Not the habit of complaining. That's an easy habit to cultivate. Cultivate the habit of giving thanks to God. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for these exhortations, and as we hear them again, we are reminded how we do struggle with ingratitude, that we are tempted to complain often, and we ask Your forgiveness for that. We pray that You'd strengthen our faith and our recognition of Your goodness to us and Your constant provision and care in our lives, that You would help us to consider afresh the magnitude of the gift of eternal life that is found in Christ alone. God, as we meditate upon that indescribable gift, how our difficulties pale in comparison, and how we are able to give thanks in every circumstance. Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts, that we might be able to cultivate greater gratitude, and that You would deepen our fellowship with You through union with Jesus Christ, that You would draw us into deeper fellowship, that our joy would be made full in Him, and that we would recognize Your hand of providence in our lives daily. Father, bless us even in the week ahead as we face perhaps difficulties and disappointments. May we keep a godly perspective on all of these events in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.